Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, you're Ma, we're fam, we read comics.
Yes, and we force every single one of our family members to read comics.
We got them all
It's obligation. I'm honored to be here.
There's no gun under the table or anything.
We have the Infinity Gauntlet now.
Yeah.
All six.
All if you think gems. About it,
you're like the most important Infinity Stone.
I'll be.
Because like, then now we can snap and kill half of our family now.
Now we have the creator of this podcast on.
Pretty much.
Very important.
I am the creator. Yeah. I started it all.
Mom, I got two questions for you.
I got answers. Start,
you can skip one of these if you want.
Okay.
Which kid is your favorite?
Pass.
All right, fine. Me and Daniel are hanging off opposite sides of a cliff. Who do you save?
Myself. Like that duck that was in our pool. The mom saved herself. Yeah. She flew away.
A tragic. That could be its own comic book.
That was horrifying.
Yeah.
I don't want to relive it. Why did you bring that up?
You brought it up. I just want you to save one of your kids.
I thought your next question was like, what's your least favorite kid?
Yeah. I would be like James Bond in that situation and save you both.
Mm. Daniel's not very strong.
We'd figure it out.
You know, so it's like, you got to save him pretty fast.
Yeah.
I could do that.
And I have more body weight that I have to like pull up.
But it's like
up,
when a kid's stuck under the car, the mom can lift up the car to save the kid. I'm pretty sure I'd be able to pull
you up. No cars. Just
one hand. I'd be able to pull him up by one hand.
All
no
right,
problem.
Fair enough.
Should we test it?
Yeah, I think so.
As long as you have straps on, just in case.
Next Grand Canyon trip.
But anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got Back Matter Matters. We got the book and we have the poll list. But what do we start with, Mom?
The news.
Correct.
Yay.
Here we go.
I have news.
Oh, she's got news.
I'm going to go first.
Let's go. Yeah, go first.
Here. So I can steal it from you.
Ladies first.
I have two news.
I already have two news.
First news, Bo DiMaggio was fired ahead of the March premiere of the 97 revival X-Men animated classic series.
Oh, yeah.
Neither party's commented, so we don't know why.
He was fired?
Yeah. Fired.
Wow.
That's
coming
wild.
Out March 20th, and he was fired. So.
I assume it's like pretty much done. So
yeah,
I
like we're gonna change.
They don't need him anymore. But I mean, why would they fire him? What did he do?
Very weird. Yeah,
maybe he was pushing for like a sex scene or something in there, and they're like, ooh.
Maybe he wanted Rogue's ass to be bigger, like it was in like the old show.
Yeah,
I'll show you a picture. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like they were trying to control,
but they like shrunk it down.
Yeah, they wanted to bring back the badunk.
Yeah, they want the ass.
And then Venom 3. Has named their third film.
I did see this.
I don't even know how there's three of those because the first one was terrible. I didn't even watch the second one, but it's called The Last Dance.
Is Tara watching the second one with me? And she's like, that's the worst movie I've ever seen.
Literally. I don't even know why they made more than one.
Wait, the
it's
first
terrible.
One or second one with you?
The second one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Oh, wait, what was the news? It's called the what?
It's called The Last Dance. Thank God. Be the last one, hopefully.
What is it? It's got Michael Jordan in it?
I don't know.
This is Rogue's ass.
Oh, juicy.
In the 90s X-Men cartoon, which defined a generation.
I have suggested before that me and Sophie should cosplay as Rogue and Gambit. But I tell her it's because I want to look like Gambit.
Do you know Dad and I are going to Comic-Con this year?
Oh, you are?
And we got a hotel for the weekend.
What?
For the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Wow, big nerds.
He bought it when we were doing the pitch party.
Yeah, because he talked about it for like 5 seconds and you're just like, let's pull the trigger.
Talk about 5 seconds, drinking beers. Yep, let's buy it. Let's spend $500 on a hotel for the weekend.
Because
something that we don't normally go to.
That's
pretty
crazy.
Cool.
I hope you guys like Comic-Con.
I think we will.
There's a lot to see and there's a lot to do and stuff, but it's like.
Last year I went to a TMNT like movie premiere, like the old 80s one we used to watch at like Grammy's house.
Yeah,
and they had like the actors for the Turtles So it was pretty cool. So they have stuff like going on like around the venue and stuff
It'd be fun to dress up and hang out with you guys.
I just drank a lot of beer and bought a lot of comics.
Yeah. It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So right up our alley. What are you going to dress up as?
I don't know yet.
Ooh.
It'll be good though.
Vote on your phones now.
What do we think Mom should dress up as?
Yeah. So Mom, do you think that the last Venom movie is going to be like a musical? It's because it's called Venom The Last Dance. I can't imagine.
I
what
hope
that
not.
Would be. That would be.
Because I hate musicals and I hate Venom.
If
so
it's a musical.
I'm definitely not going.
I'm going.
And Venom. And you know like Venom's going to be singing in that, you know?
Oh, perfect.
It's such a bad movie.
It also
movie.
Moved up to
I actually
October?
Like the first one.
Did?
A little bit.
It was so bad.
Like I think about it sometimes. No. It's not great, but I'm like, there's some good stuff in here, you know?
Sure. But yeah, they said it like moved up to October. So
this October
25th, coming out your dad's birthday.
Really?
Perfect timing.
We're doing.
We can go see Venom, his favorite anti-hero.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in
his favorite.
It's supposed to be November.
In November, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I know all the details.
Wow.
Very
informed.
That just gets into our horror month, dude.
Yeah. That's his favorite Tom Hardy movie. He's told all of us many times. what else you got, Daniel?
In other news, bad news. Oh, yeah. Good job. Good news. I'm like, this is bad news.
Yeah. Now we got some bad news. So let's hit it.
Big rest in peace to Akira Toriyama, who is the creator of Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
He died this past week. He was like 68 or something.
Mm-hmm. Far too young.
Yeah.
So young.
These manga creators, they'll just work like all fucking day, all
hours.
Fucking week. Yeah.
Like clinical exhaustion, pretty much.
Yeah.
They just worked them to death.
Yeah. Like the guy who does like One Piece, like goes to the hospital like once a year from just like over exhaustion. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. But this is like our first anime. I probably said that about
a few
things.
Yeah, we didn't even know it was anime at the time.
Yeah, we were just watching.
Like, oh, cool cartoon, you know?
Work to death. That might be how I go.
You should get a different job.
I should. Then we wouldn't be going to Barcelona.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, that sucks.
Big bummer.
We just start the show off with a bang.
We always got to shout the rest in peace, especially if they like form our childhood in a way. You know?
And a lot of people. I think his influence is pretty apparent in like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
remember that one time you did your hair like Dragon Ball Z?
That's all I wanted.
I think you should show that picture on this podcast.
I need to find one.
And there's that one of like you say makes me look like Dragon Ball Z that.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of when you were in track.
Cross country one.
Because my hair is all crazy. That might be what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm. You could put that one up, I guess. When I was like only 100 pounds, pretty available. Much.
And, yeah. And you used to run for fun.
I still do sometimes.
Do you have any news, Aiden?
Yes. Seth Rogen. Are you familiar?
Yeah, I know him.
He's going to be...
We have the same birthday.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the coolest one.
Why have I been celebrating your birthday?
Also, Emma Watson has the same birthday as us.
Oh, not as cool.
We're putting all three of your names on the cake this year.
To Emma, Seth, and Daniel. Yeah. Like, why am I third? You're like, yeah. This is my party.
It's Seth Rogen, Emma Watson, Daniel.
Yeah. Oh, and Daniel.
And Daniel.
Wait, are they coming or...
I'll send an invite. They might come. See. Maybe send a card.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, some celebrities will send a card if they invite them to the wedding. And
yeah, you got to do that.
I was thinking about doing that.
You need to do that.
I was like, I should invite some comic book people.
Totally.
There's a lot of famous ones. Like the guy that created Venom lives in Arizona. Like,
we're cutting out family because we've got some pretty esteemed people coming. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm like,
did he create Venom?
You're no Todd McFarlane. Sorry.
McFarlane created Venom?
Yeah. He didn't create the black suit.
Well, don't invite him because I don't like the movies. What am I going to talk to him about?
Spawn,
yeah. Are you familiar with Spawn? Have you heard of that? Who else?
There was that logo I was drawing on the wall of that bar. Like that.
Oh, yeah.
That logo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's Spawn. Another bad movie.
Yeah.
He's got quite the track record.
Yeah. The writer of my favorite comic we've had on the show, John Layman, who lives like a couple miles from me, I think.
Invite that guy you guys saw at Snooze at one time.
Ooh, Mitch.
Yeah, we should get Mitch.
Put him in the slideshow where he's like,
that would be cool.
Picture with you guys.
Anyway, Seth Rogen, Daniel.
Yeah.
Who has your birthday.
Correct.
Or you have his birthday, I should say.
Whoa.
He's going to be the one adapting 8 Billion Genies for Amazon.
Whoa.
He's going to be head producer with Point Grey Studios, I guess.
Mom, listen to this.
What does that mean?
Imagine one day everyone in the world gets a genie and they get one wish.
Mm-hmm.
That's the book. And it goes terribly.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of people who just rip their wishes immediately.
But your wishes can also like cancel out. So if I like wish for Nathan to be dead and he wished for me to be dead, neither of us die and we both lose our wishes. Mm-hmm. And shit like that.
Is it a movie or a book?
It's a comic. Yeah. And now it's going to be a show.
Yeah, show.
Yeah.
TV show.
Did you know that they have a comic about the history of beer? It's a comic book?
No. That sounds cool.
I've ordered you each a copy and I expect a podcast on it.
I'm down.
All right, next week.
It's a literal comic book. It'll be there tomorrow.
That's crazy.
I know. I wanted to get it to bring it, but it didn't arrive in time. So.
That's okay.
I love nonfiction comics. They're actually pretty cool.
Aaron McConnell, Jonathan Hennessy. That's a good name. Mike Smith. I don't know. Any of these guys.
He's like, I was born to do this.
Probably. That's crazy. New York Times bestseller. I don't know this.
I don't know. I'm bringing more news to the table, guys.
Yeah.
I'm so informative today.
How'd you find that?
Because I was looking for this cool stuff to bring today. They have beers that are comic themed. There's a Hellboy beer.
Whoa.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
It has 6.66 APV or ABV, whatever it is.
Nice.
And then there's a couple other ones, but none of them are sold here.
Interesting.
Because I wanted to bring those, couldn't do it.
This is one brewery that actually stole like some Thor artwork from a comic and just put it on their can.
Ooh.
And it's like they're like notoriously known for that now. Yeah. And like the artist on that is like bitched about on Twitter and shit like that.
Yeah.
There's Walter a few. Simonson. There was another one besides Hellboy. It was by I didn't recognize the comics. And I don't remember what the brewery was, but there are a few of them out there. I was like, oh, that's cool.
I think I've seen like a Walking Dead seltzer or something.
Probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even drink it. I would just like keep the can.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I was saying.
I would drink it and keep the can.
Drink two, keep two.
Yeah.
They're like four packs.
Daniel, you know the My Adventures of Superman?
Yeah.
The show, it's going to be a comic book. Apparently,
why do they keep doing this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just watch the show.
The second season's pretty. Should you know? Just come up with that.
It's not adapting the show, is it? It's just like kind of spinoff.
Expands the world of the hit Adult Swim animated series. I didn't know it was an Adult Swim show.
Yeah, it was even that scary or traumatizing.
And there's a video game called Cult of the Lamb. Pretty big, pretty popular. I know none of you know it, but it's becoming a comic book, so it's kind of cool.
Cult of the Lamb.
It's called Cult of the Lamb.
Is that like Goat Simulator?
No.
Hmm.
But also also good game.
A better game.
Probably, yeah.
So what book are we reading this week, Nathan?
We're reading The Comic Book Story of Beer, the World's Favorite Beverage from 7000 BC to Today's Craft Brewing Revolution. Did you get all
Indeed.
That?
Indeed.
By Jonathan Hennessy and Mike Smith with the art done by Aaron McConnell.
Yeah, we did read Night Fever, like we said we were going to. But we lost that episode because Adobe Audition is a piece of shit.
And so we pivoted to whatever this comic that mom got us. Thank you.
Yeah. So this is a gift that she told us about, she gave us last episode.
And this couldn't be a more different comic book. Than
yeah, very different.
Much longer.
Much longer.
Much longer.
We all really liked Night Fever. Mom guessed the ending because of the movie Date Night.
Steve Carell.
The triple horns.
And but whoa, dude,
Washfield.
Oh my god, no. This never happens.
Oh, no.
Use your shirt, stupid.
All right, I'm already drunk.
Yeah, I know, dude. You took like two sips,
yeah. But yeah, this is like it's much different because it's like a non fictional essay type thing. It feels like a book report type thing, but
yeah. It's
with
like
panels.
It's like an illustrated textbook,
yeah,
you know,
and it's kind of cool, honestly. I think it's like it was like super. Informed like way more than I thought.
I
like
learned
it goes
a ton.
I learned so much.
I was like, whoa.
And I was telling people some shit that I learned. Like, you know what the term pub comes from? And like shit like that. I was like, no fucking way.
I made your dad pause the show so I could tell him about different things that I was reading and he was like, wow.
Guess
like,
what?
And I never even just thought about the complexities of beer because in my head it's just like just beer.
Yeah,
no, just like just
so
drink
much history
it.
To it.
You don't need to know everything about it. You know, just drink it.
Just
but now I have a deeper appreciation. So
me too.
So cheers, everybody. We have our brewskis.
Cheers. Right
of course, we have to. Cheers.
Got some. The Shop Beer Co. in Tempe, local brews. Got crispy.
So good.
Mine's from LA, I think.
It looks LA. But yeah, pretty good art on this. You know, when I was like looking at it, I was thinking like, oh, this is going to be like maybe not the best art, you know, because more like learning experience kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I thought this was like pretty well like researched, but I don't know if any of it's like true, you know, because like there's no like references or anything, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm like, because they were saying like beer was kind of part really pushed the advances in like agriculture. And I'm like, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe a side angle.
I think some of them are like, you know, from this perspective, it could be, you know, seen through a lens that beer really motivated people to do certain things.
Motivated people to grow those.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay.
And then they're like, in the Bible, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus turned water into wine. Maybe it was beer.
And there's a bit of that.
And then they just changed it, you know, because the church doesn't like beer or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, church doesn't like beer, but they do like wine. So they.
And how do they know the history of like the clay pots and all that stuff that they were talking about? Like, did they write that down somewhere?
I think there was.
Maybe like, there's signs of it or something.
Yeah, I think they said there were signs of it, but again, like there's no reference really to any like specific scientific journal or anything like that. But it is interesting to think about.
I thought it was interesting that different the speaking of the illustrations, there's so many different types, like,
yeah,
from the cartoony looking stuff to like dark, and then like these old timey looking pictures.
Oh,
like different,
yeah,
styles,
oh, yeah,
of
super
the
detailed
art was all different.
Yeah, yeah, that guy's goated. Who is the artist?
Aaron McConnell.
Yeah. And like, you know, some of these panels, like, you know, you basically just read the caption and the panel's there, but, yeah, like I wonder how hard it was to figure out what to draw for certain,
yeah,
things,
especially for some like the science parts where he, yeah, the artist has to like explain the science that's going on, and they do it with like little Lego guys, and I'm like, this is great, I understand how these enzymes work and like the yeast works,
yeah,
because they're like little robot things,
little robot, so, horses or whatever. I don't know how you got to that conclusion, kinda, but
yeah, yeah, so
I feel
it was
the start of it was really weird with the guy being woken up to go to a party, and yeah, he had to stop and get beer, and then all of a sudden it turns into these ancient times,
yeah,
beer. I'm like,
there's,
oh,
there's like a little,
I don't know if that was,
I was kind of hoping it was more of that, you know?
I know,
like it was like there's like a story in this,
yeah,
and then there's,
me too,
like,
but it then was, it just went right to,
it's, yeah, like at the beginning there's this guy, he has to like go get beer for an occasion, they're like, don't pick up that shitty beer, and so he like goes to the grocery store and he's like, hey, what beer is good, to like some random worker, and then just kind of jumps into this, but
so,
I thought it would have been funny if this random dude at the grocery store knew all of this knowledge about beer, and it was they were acting like,
that's
he was,
what I was
telling,
like, was he narrating the story to, no, him, telling him this,
the end of the book,
I'd be like, dude, I just need a good beer to bring to the party, please.
That would have been so fun. No, what if at like the end of the book, the worker is like, and so based off of that,
which beer would you like?
Yeah.
He's like already checking out. Like,
yeah,
I think that would have been pretty funny, I think, yeah, to just like try and shoehorn just like the most basic story. But yeah, it's interesting.
Could have been a funner twist.
So feel free not to be like super detailed.
I'm not, you know? I kind of just, because it's not like there's like a huge narrative throughout the whole thing, I just sort of wrote down like big developments,
yeah,
in beer. I think I went a little bit more detailed in like the first chapter because it's like kind of interesting, and then the brewing process, but after that it's just like, here's some fun facts,
yeah.
So but yeah, pretty much the intro, a guy's going, he's got to go pick up beer, he asks a dude like what good beer is, and then there's like a slight intro on how beer has impacted culture and religion and socioeconomics and stuff.
And beer
apparently,
bread.
Apparently more, yeah, beer is consumed in the world than coffee, which I wonder if that's still the case, because this came out, it seems like, in 2015-ish times.
And you think more coffee has been consumed since then?
I just feel like
I think it's
so,
more popular now.
You think coffee is beer. More popular or beer?
Beer.
Really?
I do.
I think that's so crazy to me, because I don't think more coffee... I don't think more beers consumed than coffee in America.
Maybe, yeah.
Coffee is pretty popular now.
Yeah.
But, like, think about it in, like, just a place like England. Like, they just have, like, tea more than anything.
Yeah.
Like, they have coffee places, but, like, it's mostly, like, tea and stuff.
Yeah, true. Maybe it's not as...
So that cuts down the coffee numbers.
Not as many Starbucks in, like, different Asian countries or something, maybe.
And I feel like there's more, like, beer history in, like, other countries, mm-hmm, than there is here.
Well, and
you know?
Beer is more of a recreational drink versus coffee, where you can drink beer weeknights and all weekend, where coffee is more,
you kind of have like a cup or two,
one or,
yeah,
two in the morning,
I guess that's true, yeah. But yeah, pretty solid intro, and it is weird to think of beer as just solidified, or sorry, beer as like liquefied bread in like a way, and it's just like fermented and stuff, but
yeah, that was trippy.
They have some
so we can
cool
make
stuff.
Our own beer,
yeah,
with some bread,
and people did that.
You just have to soak the bread and squeeze it out or something.
I looked it up,
yeah,
and like apparently
squeeze it out.
That's like all they did.
I looked it up and it's like you can make beer bread, like that's like a,
yeah,
there's recipes for that,
yeah.
Oh,
kind of interested,
yeah,
might be ass, but
I was like, no wonder there's so many carbs in it.
It's made literally from the carb,
from the bread
thing. So yeah, that's pretty much the intro, but it's chapter one, beer in the ancient world. So it's like pretty much the earliest origins of beer as they could go. So, and basically it's kind of hard to tell when beer originated, but there's some evidence to support beer like was carbon dated on like Chinese clay jars as far back as like 7,000 BC. And the development of agriculture made it possible for nomads to like have long-term housing. So people would start eating cereals like wheat and barley and seed, which would eventually lead to the accidental creation of beer. So, one second. Hold on. Sophie's calling me. I didn't eat any food. So
there's still food left over?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Thank you.
All right. I love you. Bye.
Like at home or here?
At home.
Oh.
Because she cooked and she's like, did you eat everything? Because she probably wanted to pick something up on the way back. She just got finished with clinicals. So
gotcha.
I'm sure she'd be pissed if she got home and there's no food for her.
I'm like, you should come in here. There's not that much.
You never eat all the food and leave nothing for the wife.
No, I've learned this many times.
Yeah.
I do. She doesn't like fuck with leftovers. So,
who? Sarah?
But yeah. the same day you've made. Oh, is it leftovers?
Yeah, it's leftovers.
Oh, gotcha. I don't either. I hate cold food. The smell of it.
Mm. You heat it up.
If someone heats it up for me, if someone heats it up for me, I'll eat it. But if I have to heat it up, I'm not about
it's
it.
It's never assumed that leftovers are eaten cold. What are you talking about?
Well, no, I'm just saying if I have to get out of the fridge and smell it cold, I'm like, so I'll just have something else. And then your dad, dad eats it up for me, it's delicious.
Oh, okay, I got it. You know the most mad I've ever seen dad is when you were gone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You were gone and I was tasked with making chicken nuggets for everybody. And so I took an inventory of who was in the house.
Oh, literally.
And I only
never
made chicken nuggets
that.
For everybody that was in the house at that time. So when dad came back from work and it was like 8 p.m., there were no chicken nuggets available for him. He was so angry.
He was fucking pissed and he let everybody know.
He was so angry because I think he loves...
That's his favorite meal.
It is. Nuggets it and is.
Fries, especially the shit we got from Costco or wherever we got. Yeah.
Dude, last night I was like, hey, I got this book to read. So do you want to have chicken nuggets and french fries? He was like... Say less. I love chicken nuggets.
I've never felt like more of a disappointment to my
father than
when I didn't make him chicken nuggets that one night.
You fell several notches on the my favorite
dude,
child.
I know.
Yeah, no. Dude, you were from second to fourth.
I fell out of top two easy.
He was so mad.
Yeah,
and it was ridiculous. I was like, dude.
I still think about it to this day. But it's just funny. Like, I don't think, but it's just insane. Anyway.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, some beer. Prehistoric people likely gathered barley and wheat and steeped it to make gruel, but when in the sun, grain would germinate and it would attract airborne yeasts and ferment during the turning the gruel into like a slightly sweet like substance and gave it like low alcoholic content. And this shit was like magic to the people when they like accidentally stumbled upon this creation. And it was kind of given like a spiritual significance because they don't know why it like made them kind of drunk or like tasted so sweet and good.
Yeah.
And it apparently gave them like health benefits too, because it would give them like a healthy source of like B vitamins, lysine, and phytates, which is crazy. Phytates. So I'm like, okay, yeah, beer's healthy.
Obviously.
Yeah. But it is funny to think that like these people stumbled upon this and they're like, holy fuck.
I know.
Like, we don't even know what happened. It must be the gods.
Feel like this?
Like, it makes so much sense because it's like, I didn't do anything. So the gods did it, you know?
Yeah. They had some creative captioning, you know? They have like, they have on like the top of these buildings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like that page.
There'll be like fun little opportunities that they try and throw in there.
Yeah. Because of how desirable it was, they'd learn the process by just like crazy trial and error. So this experimenting is called beer theory officially. And in 1800 BC, the hymn to Ninkasi was a clay tablet scribed, which was kind of like the first mention of brewing. And there was the brewing goddess Ninkasi and a beer recipe that was written on that tablet. So it's kind of like the first written document for beer, which is weird to think about that that's like a thing. But beer was hard to maintain because the microbes could not survive like cold weather. And so they couldn't easily store it or seal it until 900 BC when China would learn to seal beer containers with beeswax.
Yeah, dude, they just had this warm beer,
yeah.
You know, like,
and they just like have it sit
it's
there
pretty
like
far into the book before they get to fridges.
Yeah,
because they're like, I don't know how to keep this beer good, you know.
It like, goes bad round. So fast.
Like, they just leave it there overnight. And then like maybe in the morning, like, oh,
but if you don't
beer.
Know any better and you're, you've only ever had it warm.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's crazy.
It's probably better than just like whatever drinks they had back then.
Did you see this like Gru style art?
Yeah, dude. It was super fun.
It was neat. And then this is like the coolest fucking page with these colors.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, with some of the gods.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah, so like,
I was like, hell yeah, dude.
This artist does get like pretty good with exploring different styles.
Like, he could do like probably any book, you know, based off of like what he's like does in this, you know?
Maybe that was like part of his plan. He's like, I'll just kind of go all
I'll
out.
Just flex on
with, like a bunch of different things and have like a diverse sort
probably
of portfolio.
Probably took like years to finish all this.
Yeah, this is a long book. I wonder how long it did take, but it would kind of suck to not have beer during like winter because it was like too cold and you couldn't like physically ferment beer, you know, because people already get kind of depressed during like winter times and stuff. I'm sure it's much harder in 900
seasonal
BC
depression
too.
Yeah.
I also like the idea that the bees help with sealing beer. Like, we need the bees.
Save the bees
because they help us have beer, you know. We have them to thank. So the first mention of a brewery archaeologists discovered is at Hierakonpolis in 3500 BC. And Egyptians would use beer to please the gods when they were being too harsh. And interestingly, these gods mentioned, Ninkasi, Sekhmet, and Shammat are female figures. And the author kind of thinks that this is the origin of like beer marketing. And you'd see like beer like on a TV commercial and there's like a hot babe or whatever like marketing the beer. They think that like there's some sort of connection
there. That's who drinks beer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you explain them as buxom women in like the beer commercials. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to call somebody.
That's the, in the old days. Buxom. Like in the, I want to say the 50s or whatever, you're a buxom if you have large boobs.
And then beer was just hated by the Greeks and the Romans, who were more like wine drinkers because they had more grapevines and shit grown there. But they thought of beer drinkers as barbaric, but their soldiers would still drink it. So
did you read the bit that where it's like they think they use beer as like payment when it came to like building the pyramids?
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
We'll work for beer.
That solves all the like the mysteries.
It makes sense.
Yeah, if they ran out, there'd be like a rebellion, you know?
Yeah, I know. Or like, you know, if beer's your motivator, you can do anything. Yeah. So it's like, it's not the aliens. It's just some people that wanted beer, you know?
That's how you get people to help you move. You give them
exactly.
Beer.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then they're like kind of twisting the words of like the Bible to kind of like make it seem like they could be talking about beer.
I did see
in like the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of parentheses beer to the Lord.
To the Lord.
Proverbs 31:6.
Yeah.
You know,
they did say all that and I'm like,
oh, getting that tatted, dude.
Yeah. the beer proverb in the Bible. So chapter 2 kind of goes more into the brewing process, so a bit scientific. But beer at its basic level is fermented alcoholic liquid whose source of fermented carbohydrates is some sort of cereal grain, mainly barley. Then it goes into like the chemical process of breaking down starch to sugars and then converting it into alcohol. And this is where I like the analogy that they come up with, just like a strain of blocks and there's like little dudes that are like Lego guys that are like breaking it down. And I'm like, this is how you explain shit to somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they do this in like fucking college chemistry courses
this
and shit.
This is geared for beer drinkers.
It is.
The simple man.
You're telling me this is yeast, this fucking robotic dragon looking thing?
Oh, yeah.
And it's changing sugars into alcohol? Like, I understand it perfectly. Were you going to say something?
Oh, yeah. You know how you're saying, like, the poor people drink beer and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's even, like, kind of brought up in like Game of Thrones, you know, like all like the highborn people drink like wine and stuff, and then the Night's Watch would be drinking like ale or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like,
must be true.
It's gotta be.
We gotta start drinking wine, then we'll go rich.
Yeah, I guess so. And like Tyrion Lannister drinks so much wine, and I'm like, why don't you just pound a bunch of beer? It's probably easier,
you know,
to do, because he's like chugging wine sometimes in that show.
Which show?
In Game of Thrones.
Ah.
Peter Dinklage, his character. He's kind of a drunk sometimes, but...
Well, and 2 glasses of wine, you're on your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 beers, you're kind of feeling
you're
still, like...
Just so you can build a pyramid.
You can have a couple more.
You can build a pyramid. So a maltster is in charge of preparing harvested barley for brewing. And malt is when a barley plant germinates, meaning that barley begins growing from the seed and is stopped... like kind of mid-process by drying out the seed with its kilning, so like a heat lamp thing. And there's like a little tendril thing that comes out, and that is malt, which can be stored for like months or sometimes years. And the amount of time and temperature used creates the different colors and kinds of beer.
And it's actually just like coffee.
Is it?
Yeah, because like when stuff is like roasted like less, it's like stronger technically. Mm. Like there'll be like a dark roast, which will kind of be like a... not the like the weakest of like the coffees. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a light roast, like the blonde grounds and stuff.
And those are stronger?
Light?
Has
more
light
caffeine
roasts?
In it. Light roasting. And then there's even
dark
like...
dark roast was the stronger.
Yeah, it sounds like cooler and more manly.
That's what you think, right?
Yeah.
But not the how much you roast is like the flavor of it, really. Because like the coffee beans, like I think it's like green at first, and then like you roast it and it turns like white, and then it turns like brown.
Huh.
So at Dutch Bros, they actually have like white coffee, and that's like super, super like strong.
No kidding.
But like it doesn't taste
I thought that
dark.
Was like,
it doesn't really taste like coffee. It almost tastes like milky kind of.
Yeah, I just assumed they put like white chocolate or something in the coffee.
No. If you ask for like white coffee, like they can do that. And it's supposed
so is
to be
green
like,
coffee?
No, I think that's just...
it's probably like not safe to drink.
I think that's like a plant.
What I didn't know is that there was like a like a measurement for like the color of beer called the standard reference method, and that's like the measurement from like super light, you know, yellowish beer to like all the way down to dark. And I just thought that was interesting that that's like a measurement that.
Did you read the part where once they started making the lagers and the lighter beers, when they went to a clear glass because it was a prettier, less muddy beer that people wanted, it was more acceptable to see?
Mm-hmm. Don't jump ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
He's talking about the colors of the beer.
Yeah.
So the process of milling cracks open the seed coat so that the malt can be watered, and then they mash it into like these big barrels where biochemical reactions can continue. And barley uses the starch in the mixture for energy, and enzymes break down the starch to sugar. And there's like different mashing methods, you know, based off of, you know, geography. Pretty much they have different like processes for it. But after this is done lautering, it separates the sweet liquid and from like the oatmeal looking stuff. And then they boil that stuff down into wort, and then they add hops, which is like the spice of beer. And then it's rapidly cooled, and yeast is introduced to the wort to convert them to alcohol and then carbon dioxide, which is like the fermentation part of it. And then most of the time, CO2 is added to give it its like carbonation and stored in kegs, bottles, or cans.
Nice, nice.
So lots of information there, but dope chapter.
I really don't fuck with these like paragraph panels.
Yeah.
It's like, it might as well be a book.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, pretty much.
Not into books.
Yeah, it's like they... Like, why may I even make, like, the box for it, you know? Mm-hmm.
There are, like, a couple pages where it's, like, this whole... It's, like, a whole page dedicated to just, like, one specific beer.
That was my favorite part.
Oh, really? I skipped them every time because it's too much reading.
Why?
I only read cool? I read the bold stuff and then some of the stuff in the
pictures.
Well,
it told all these things about beer, and that was one of the fun facts. Two of them were the fun facts that I stopped the TV show because... Do you know what they... Why they named Porter beer the Porter?
No. Or it was from a place called Porter, right? Or
no,
dude,
because it was geared towards the people that did all the work and like the heavy lifting
like a port.
And, yeah, so they named it for them. And then my favorite beer,
the
Hoegaarden, is actually pronounced Hoegaarden.
Oh, you've been fucking it up this whole time. It's your favorite beer.
I know. I didn't even know the name. That's what I went to go buy, and it said it was at Albertsons, and it was not.
Yikes. In the Sopranos, they don't say like whore. Like when they're talking about like prostitutes and stuff, they say like hua.
Hua. Hua.
It's like hua again.
That's fancier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude, there's a whole page on Hoegaarden. And then your dad was like, you should send him that video and they can play it on the pod. There's this video of dad going, Hoegaarden.
Is that the beer? It's like a brand of beer?
Yeah, it's a Belgian wit.
Mm.
And it's delicious. And it's Hoegaarden.
You probably impress a brewery like next time you go.
You say, yeah.
I'm a Hoegaarden.
But you say Hoegaarden. And the only reason we know it was because one time we were on Mill day drinking with Roxanne and Lynn, and we went to the Monk, I think it was. And they
Monkey Pants.
You
went to Monkey Pants?
We went to Monkey Pants, and they were, for all the beers that they were trying to get, all the beers they were trying to get rid of, it was like 5-cent pint.
Whoa.
And
dangerous.
Hoegaarden was one of the ones they were trying to get rid of.
Like, I fuck with this.
And I was like, this beer is so good. So we like totally got hammered on.
I don't remember getting a call. We were
like,
or
got hammered on Hoegaarden for like a nickel.
This was like before you were 21.
Ah.
I think.
There's this one country bar in Mesa. It's called Denim and Diamonds. And it's awful. But in order
to get had that around forever.
In order to get through it, they're. Bottles of Banquet are 25 cents.
Shut up.
Yeah, so I had like 20 of them.
Isn't that absurd?
Why are they 25
And I started Love Country.
Daniel's out there doing line dances.
And I think it's cheaper than just buying bottles of Banquet.
Absolutely.
Like,
100% it is.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like they want to lose money. How does this work? Not a lot of people were drinking it for some reason. I was looking around, and I'm like, two.
They're like, this stuff's going bad. Let's sell it for 25 cents.
Like, literally every time someone I knew was getting a drink, I'm like, oh, give me a Banquet. You know, because it's a quarter.
That's
insane. You
should
bring a bunch of quarters.
Like, you say no?
Yeah. You should bring a bunch of quarters and like, you know, like, like flick it over to
the bartender.
Banquet.
They catch Banquet. It, use it to open the bottle.
That place was around when I was... getting into bars with my fake ID. We used to go to Denim and Diamonds.
Wow.
It's been around forever.
Chapter 3, Dark Ages and the Medieval Beer. So the rise of Christianity in Rome would hold beer in disdain, and worshippers of Odin would drink beer as celebration after a battle in like a big beer hall. They even like mention like Beowulf, you know, they're like, yeah, see?
Yeah, it's
like
a thing. I love Beowulf. Like,
good movie. And so Ireland was Christianed by St. Patrick, who would become the beer drinking idol for St. Paddy's Day. Yes. Apparently he's not Irish. I didn't know that.
No, he brought Christianity to Ireland.
Oh.
I don't know where he's from.
I think it's assumed that he's just like that Irish like icon, you know.
I looked that up for like my confirmation because you got to like choose like a saint. I'm like, am I about to do St. Patrick? You know?
I didn't even think that St. Paddy is
was about a person.
Saint. I don't know if I've ever looked into the history of it. I'm like, let's wear green and drink beer.
Green beer.
Green beer.
They're going to dump dye into a river.
That's hilarious. I was like, oh, okay. It's actual.
St. Brigid was credited with the power to turn water and even bath water into beer.
Ooh. Who said that?
St. Brigid.
Was that an angel?
That was just a real person, I think, but people were like, she could turn water to beer.
No, there's this angel that like teaches some guy how to make beer. Oh,
okay, yeah. That's probably it. Then. I don't know. So yeah, we're all just drinking bathwater if you're drinking beer.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a big page on Lambic, the one I skipped. I skipped all these big pages.
It's the oldest style of beer. Yeah. Have you ever had it?
Well, no, I didn't know. Yeah.
They have a page on here on rice beer too, which this is a
I've had rice beer. It's pretty good.
Crispy's rice beer?
Oh, that's a rice beer?
Yeah. I think all Japanese beer is rice beer.
Yeah, I've had a few Japanese beers. Yeah.
I've good. Had them all.
All of them.
All
which
the
one's your favorite?
Sapporo.
Me too.
Yeah, so good.
I think that we should like guzzle a bunch of this and then have a burping contest at some point.
You'll win.
Yeah, you'll win. But I agree. I'm down.
Okay. Sorry.
We can have a Guitar Hero contest too, but I'm going to win that, you know?
But I'll put up a fight.
Yeah. I like watching you try.
I'm going to get a fucking guitar somewhere. They're like $100 to get just the controller now.
They're $80 on Amazon, yeah.
Do the ones that you had when you were in eighth grade still work?
I know.
Because I probably still have them.
If you still have them, I'll take them.
No, I sold
them. We only
have
the ones for like the Wii, I think.
No, we gave those all to Dominique.
I sold the PlayStation 2 ones. Yeah, I know.
But I'm going to get a new one and then I'll practice and then we'll be at like some like Dave and Buster's or whatever.
No, we can have a tournament at the house.
I would be down for a Guitar Hero party. Fun. I've been dreaming of this.
We could do it for your birthday.
Yeah.
That'd be fun too.
There's a lot of options. You got to get a Clone Hero or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I picked all the songs.
So beers were starting to get brewed at home by female slaves or free women. And the good ones were known as Brewsters, which is a cool name, or Alewives. And the men would hang out where the good alewives are, and eventually into the first public houses, otherwise known as pubs.
Pubs.
Which is pretty cool. I never thought of pub as like a thing, like a like
you
slang
like go
term.
Over to your buddy's house who has like the best wife who makes beer.
Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
the best beer. Like,
my babe makes the best beer. Come over. And so beer was pretty popular because water was often unsanitary because they didn't understand germs yet.
Beer
so,
safe though.
So the process of like boiling wort accidentally like sanitized it, and so it was like more safe to drink than like water typically, which is pretty funny.
They're like I'm gonna
go with the safe option.
I'm gonna go with the safe option and have a beer. Thank you very much.
And then wedding parties would be celebrated with a drinking party known as bride ale, eventually becoming bridal later. The term bridal. Mm-hmm. It's beer coated.
There's these little pictures of like random beers or whatever, and this one in the middle with a big X on it. It's called Illiteracy Lager. And I think that's a great name for
it
beer.
Is.
That should come back if this
Illiteracy Lager. Yeah. Yeah.
Eventually medieval authorities wanted to control the gruit, which is the substance used most often to flavor beer, so that they could monopolize it and tax beer, turning beer into more commercial product, and it drove it out of homes, favoring those that could buy it in bulk. So the damn government's getting in the way of our friggin' beer drinking.
Every time.
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of that in this.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck the government.
I thought this picture was cool. The Gruit Father.
Yeah, the Gruit Father. That was pretty funny. So that's chapter 3. Chapter 4, titled The Hops Revolution, Beer Becomes Commodity. Some of these sound like movie names, but hops would eventually become the preferred flavoring substance for beer because it would be grown and could increase beer's shelf life even. So since this disrupted the gruit tax, hops would be banned from entering like the luminaries domain that they were trying to control. But because hops made beer more exportable, Amsterdam was a key port of entry for Hamburg beer, and gruit eventually just disappeared altogether. And It's interesting because, like, I think you'd traditionally think of Amsterdam as like a pretty big like beer place, and that's probably why. It's like
it
kind of,
it was like a port
beer export. Yeah, would like start there, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
this was one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because it's like, it's like the man trying to take our beer, you know, and then we just find a better way to do it. And
yeah,
I didn't really know what hops was before this book. Like, people would say that, and I would be like, okay.
Yeah, it was so informative.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, I think I knew them because, like, they would be on, like, beer t-shirts and stuff. And
that's the only reason I knew. And what they look like.
Yeah, like the IPAs and stuff. Because
I bought you a hop shirt from somewhere.
Yeah, like the IPAs would have, like, more hops or whatever, and that's why they're so bitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I knew about it. But yeah. I didn't know what part in the process that they, like, put in.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, last.
Yeah. And it makes it last longer, which is cool.
Whenever I'm bored, I'm like, I should learn how to make beer. But after reading this, I'm like, this seems so hard.
It is a long process, and it stinks up your house, apparently.
Well, the place that we go to buy parts and stuff for the kegerator, they have stuff for people to make their own beer there.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that runs the place is like, seems like a total pothead, but he's so cool. And he was always like, he's always like, cheers, every time you leave or go, cheers. But you can like buy everything you need to make your own beer there.
Yeah,
it'd be fun to.
They have like I've seen like a little kit like at a White Elephant party. It's like a little box. I'm like, how
did you do that? I don't know about that. But at that place, and this place is like legit? Not fancy at all.
Oh, no.
No, it's like a retail place, and then there's like the shelves that you have in your garage where they have all the stuff stacked there and stuff. So it's kind of ghetto in a way, but
yeah,
whatever.
It'd be interesting to. I wonder how much it would cost to buy all this stuff. Yeah. Probably not worth.
I wonder if like the if the government didn't try and control like the flavorings for beer, if like the stuff to like the appliances you'd need to make beer would be as common as like a refrigerator or something like in houses.
Maybe.
Because the only reason that though they stopped having those like standard in houses is because like normal people couldn't like commercialize it.
Do it themselves.
And so it's interesting to think like if they didn't do that, we'd probably just have like beer making shit like next to the oven.
Yeah.
But
you're making shit.
Yeah. But Black Death became a thing and it wiped out about a third of Europe. And then came the printing press, which published beer books and would create more advanced equipment for pubs. And then some growth in religion happened and eventually beer was brought with them to the New World.
Let's not pass by the fun fact that Black Death or Black Plague, what was it called?
Black Death.
The Black Death Plague.
Yeah.
Is where the invention of the covered stein came from. You know, the steins with the lids.
Those.
You have it?
No, well, I don't think so.
Maybe at the Renaissance Fair now, but.
They have them at, like, IHOP, dude, for your coffee.
Well.
That's just, I think that's different, though.
They have
though.
Them for beer at, like, nostalgia places, I think. Not so, on a normal what, like, basis, but, like, you buy them. Yeah, so it was because there were so many flies attracted to all the dead bodies that were everywhere. Mm. They had to create a lid for their beers so the flies didn't get in. I was like, oh, that's another moment.
I've never seen
I made
those.
Your dad pause the show. I'm like, dude. It was so gross, but cool.
That's just like,
time.
Just read your book. Like,
he's like, do you want me to go in the bedroom and watch this? And I was like, no.
Just save them all up until the end.
Yeah. I want you to pause your show so I can tell you about the cool thing I learned. But chapter 5, Empire and Industry, Beer Goes Big. So sailors on the Mayflower likely used to drink beer during the trip. And there is no evidence that prior to the arrival of Europeans, any alcohol was being produced in the Americas. But the first brewery popped up in 1642. Then the American Revolution and advancements in distillation made beer able to compete with wine and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny. I like how these big points in history happen, like just unrelated to beer, and then he like tries to connect everything to beer.
Like
and
he's like,
"Oh, Thomas Jefferson was probably drinking beer while he was writing the like Declaration of Independence, like or the Constitution, shit like that." So it's kind of funny. Or it's like Christopher Columbus was probably drinking beer. I don't know. The Industrial Revolution happened, and steam engines were pretty big in breweries, and the porter was created and named after porters. That was the most common job of carting heavy things around, which is cool.
Did you see Tintin?
I did see Tintin in that, which is crazy.
Yeah.
What's Tintin?
You don't know who Tintin is?
I don't know.
It's like a super popular European and super popular in Asia, too, I found out when I went to Malaysia. They had like Tintin shit. Like,
oh, cool.
Like pretty common.
Yeah, it's like a little comic. I think they had cartoons and stuff.
There's like a Steven Spielberg movie with Tintin as well.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see that white book right there.
The Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah,
I got that. Let me see the picture.
He's like this little dude that just like goes on adventures, but people love him. Yeah, with a dog.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, it's like a Belgian like character made by a Belgian guy or Dutch guy. And so I got one when I was over there.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Flex.
Yeah, you know. I'm well traveled. I buy comics different countries.
Yep.
Pretty fun. It's like a hobby.
Dude, I try to buy comics in fucking Asia and they only had manga and American comics.
Yeah. I just kind of lucked out where I was going.
Yeah. You know? Did I tell you about that? I was trying to find just like a random like Malaysian comic or something, and I didn't like try and go to a comic book shop, but we were in like a market, like an inside, like a mall pretty much.
Yeah.
And randomly there was just like a shop that had a bunch of comics, but it was like Daredevil and like the Punisher and stuff. And then I asked the lady, I was like, do you have any Malaysian comics? And she's like, I have Spider-Man. And I was like, okay, I'll just take a look around.
So that's a no.
And everything was like in bags, so I couldn't even really like sift or anything. I wonder how that comic shop like came to be, because they just had weird stuff.
Yeah, no. When I went to, where was I? I think it was France. They had like a shop that was like all the American stuff, you know? So they had it stuff in English and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then they had like another store. It was like the same store, but it was just a couple spots down. And it had like all like the French stuff. So like only French comics.
Ah, that's
and
cool.
It was about as big as this room, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so it was just cool that like this whole country just kind of makes like their own stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not like that in like every country, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that where, did you get the one that we read, A Man's Skin, from the the French one or from the American one? Because it was translated into English.
Yeah. So they have like the French made books in one shop.
Okay.
And then they'll have some stuff will have like translated stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
But when I said like the American ones, like they'll be like Spider-Man, Batman and stuff like that.
Did you buy any of the French ones? Yeah. Even though you wouldn't be able to read
it? Yeah. I bought a few things. I bought like Invincible in French, and I bought a copy of Watchmen in French. And then I bought a French book made by like French people that's like in English, and we had an episode on it.
Oh, sweet.
I got Nathan a copy. And
yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Remember when we got comics in Greece?
Yeah, dude.
It was at like a random newsstand, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the same place that sold beer out on the like street?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's like a newsstand place. I have a Fantastic Four comic that's in Greek or whatever.
Awesome.
Or whatever they speak there.
So in 1814, the London beer flood happened, and a vat containing 550 tons of beer exploded, and it killed 8 women and children living nearby.
That's crazy.
Which is
that
insane.
Is crazy.
Like
the biggest disaster of beer.
They had to make bigger and bigger like vats or whatever, and then they didn't have the engineering to really to, like, handle
it. Yeah. It's like, crazy. Like
people
that's died. So much. That's so much beer.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
They died doing what they love.
If I have to go, this is going to be the way.
Drowning in beer.
And that pretty much all the big developments here, but I like this fact. Arthur Guinness in Dublin, 1759, signed a 9,000-year lease on a brewery.
Yeah. Jack told me that before.
He did?
Yeah.
Dude, the rent control on that shit must be crazy.
Yup.
It's like every month, it's like, all right, give me your $15 or
it's
whatever.
It's probably, yeah.
So that's absurd. Chapter 6, Science and Politics Transform Beer, But for the Better. So.
Yeah, science.
Gabriel Settlemyer and Anton Dreyer. Invent a new process to creating white malt with more controlled indirect heating, and it would eventually create the IPA, Daniel's favorite kind of beer.
I don't know about that, but...
But you drink it a lot.
I sure do.
Also, people that store beer in ice caves accidentally made mutated yeast that would survive the cold temperature and survive many generations to mutate and create the species of yeast responsible for lager, a smoother and more crisp beer.
Let's go.
Which is... kind of cool, and they make X yeast
dude.
A reference like X-Men because they're like mutated yeast, and I'm like
this book's awesome,
and I'm like I understand. These yeasts have the X gene.
That was awesome.
And so I always figured like lager would probably be like the easier one, or like the more it would like show
that
up earlier
made
in
first.
Time
you think it'd be the weak shit and then they get stronger and stronger or whatever,
but no, it's like this is like literally mutated organisms like that made this lager, so it's interesting. Dude. And Anton Dreyer would use this method with his white malt to create the Vienna lager. You know, at this point, I was just like, we're just getting like origin stories for beer. And I fuck with it.
Basically,
this is kind of cool.
It is.
This is like when I started like really digging into this, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like when it was it was like less dense, you know, and it was stuff that I could recognize, you know?
Versus because as it gets closer, you're like,
ooh, Bush, you know?
Yeah. Like, Bohemia, I love that beer.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, Oktoberfest was created in 1810 to celebrate the marriage of Crown Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese of the Saxe-Hildenberghausen. But Pilsners, which is apparently is 95% of beer consumed worldwide today.
Yep, that's the number one.
Like Miller Lite is a Pilsner.
Yeah.
Really?
And the light, all the light drinkable beers. The,
Gotcha. They were created when Josef Grohl in Pilsen, Bohemia, mixed lager yeast with Bohemian hops and its soft water, which is like low in minerals, to create a Pilsner. And so now it's just kind of been abbreviated to Pilsner, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's funny. But yeah, Budweiser, Michelob, Heineken, Corona, these are all Pilsners. You've been lied to, everybody.
You know, I never had Heineken until like I was like in London and at the football game. Yeah.
Really?
And that's all they had.
No way.
It? Yeah. No, it's good.
That's a little skunky, but
I drink a lot of it.
It's a little good.
Skunky. I don't like the buttery kind of taste that it has. You know what I mean? Like I don't know, just the aftertaste is like a little odd.
Think it's a one you can have like one or two of. I wouldn't want to drink a ton of them.
Yeah, no, I had like eight.
You made an exception. I just had eight. That's all they had.
Beers at the game were $6.
Oh, yeah, you're so excited about that.
I have to drink this entire
time.
It's
like when they're a quarter, you drink as many as you can for that price.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Or when you go to an XFL game and there's bottomless beer, but you only see one keg, you're like, I got to drink it as much as I can.
There was two kegs. You guys are drinking the dark stuff.
That was the most drunk I've ever been. And then, like, came to for dinner. Like,
oh, yeah.
We got like pizza. The picture at the football game.
Yeah, the most drunk I've been was
you and your dad, toe-to-toe. I was
drinking. Yeah, we were going toe-to-toe. It was, like, $20 for unlimited beer before this, like, XFL game. And we were outside standing, no shade.
Nope.
No food.
And you didn't eat first.
Didn't eat. Apparently, we went on the field, and I didn't know until, like, a month later. I was like, we were on the field for that shit?
And I mean, Lynn was dancing to no music.
Yeah,
so
Lynn was also drinking
all of you were enjoying that
and
bottomless beer.
Me and my dad, in a father-son bonding moment, threw up together.
In the stands.
In the stands.
That was so terrifying, because I realized I was, like,
in charge.
Yeah, I was like the boss.
He's
here.
Like, oh no!
I'm like, I have to be the adult.
You're like the vice president, and like the president just got shot. He's like, what do I do? Like, I'm in charge now.
The president's drunk. Yeah, the president's drunk. Like, I've never had to like take care of my dad. I'm like, oh man,
drink some water. Like, yeah,
that's hilarious.
It was crazy. So there's a revolution in Germany in 1848, and that failed and pushed Germans to America, including some big beer guys like Adolphus Busch, who married into the brewing family of Eberhard Anheuser.
Yeah.
Anheuser. So that would create the Budweiser brand Anheuser-Busch, which makes way more sense now.
Yeah.
And then also sometime in 1820, we discovered that yeast was like a living thing, which we didn't know before. So
there's also Frederick Miller and Frederick Pabst.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So a lot of recognizable names there.
Yeah. Yep.
These are like superheroes.
I'm like, oh my god, there is. These are like the Avengers right now.
Mr. Pabst, in honor. Pasteurizing was invented by Louis Pasteur to further increase shelf life.
And it's so cool that you find out that they're from somebody's name who invented it. I had no idea.
I kind of hate it more. I'm like, you just pasteurizing.
It's such a weird name.
Oh, yeah, pasteurizing specifically.
Yeah, pasteurizing. Yeah. And I'm like,
not beers, but like the process of pasteurizing a beer, which they pasteurize milk and stuff. But like,
right.
Because of that method, they make it his name.
Be a certain kind of lucky to have a name that is like verbable, you know?
You can't do nativitatized.
Yeah, you can't nativitatize anything.
Nativitized.
Nativitized.
Ooh, maybe.
Let's think of something we can nativitize and make it a thing.
When you drink too much at an XFL game and then
you got nativitized. That could actually be something.
Yeah, that sounds kind of...
Let's get nativitized.
It sounds kind of like kind of funky.
It's kind of like Litty Titty will turn it into...
It's like everyone in the family gets hammered and leaves it all up to one person. One of the kids.
That's not normally in charge. You know? Yeah. But the science that improved beer would harm it as people begin to understand the effects of alcohol. They thought a buzz was a nutrition boost. Because they're like, oh my god, I feel great. But
and they were right.
Naturally,
and the next
they
day
start,
they're like, ew.
They, you know, over time start understanding it's better to not drink any alcohol whatsoever. for your health. But it is kind of funny to think like, oh, I'm drinking this, I feel great.
I feel great. Must it's be gotta good. Be good for you. Yeah. It makes sense.
They didn't pay any attention to like the headaches.
Guinness
after.
For strength.
Yeah. That's such a sick, yeah. This makes me want to drink beer. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Like, they should use these as advertisements now.
Holding up a freaking girder with like one hand.
You know beer strength is a thing.
Yeah, beer muscles.
Yeah, I get stronger with beer?
Yeah.
Really?
Because like your muscles don't feel like pain as quickly.
Ooh.
You know?
So get drunk.
All logic is out the window.
Mm. I can do way more push-ups when I've done like when I've had a couple beers.
So there's like a strongman competition.
Probably
you want to go hammer
down a few beers.
Go yeah.
Wow.
If you want a fighting chance, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everything's better when you're drinking. We play bags better when we drink.
100%.
I play poker better when I drink.
Because you're not fatigued.
I'm not better at pool after drinking.
I think because you don't get inside your own head, and so you're just like free willing and.
Yeah, people that do like archery and like shooting and stuff for the Olympics typically like take a shot or something before. So
I get like a shot, but not like a couple beers. You know.
Mm. Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
Because that takes like the edge off. You know?
Yeah. Well, in a sport thing, then you might be like weighed down by it. Mm-hmm. You don't want to try to sprint or anything. But yeah.
With something that takes like extreme focus, like pool or something, it's just like I got to be able to see straight.
Well, there's a fine line of feeling good and then I'm too drunk.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think it's mainly just like confidence, you know, because you're kind of just like
that's what I think it is.
You're not getting inside your own head, and you're also like, you're summoning like just the skill.
All the good vibes are coming your way,
pretty much.
And you know when you have all the good vibes and you're like super hyped and stuff. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but if you guys ever played like slot machines in Vegas and we were like, oh my God, I'm doing so good, and you're winning and stuff, if you're playing slot machines, you like keep winning. It's like this positive energy that through the machine it feels like.
Do you have a gambling problem, Mom?
that's called dopamine.
No,
it happens so when weird. You win when you gamble.
I feel like when I'm on that high and I'm winning, I just keep winning.
So do you think
it's weird.
Vegas think it's has little microphones in their thing and they can tell when you're drunk, so you're more likely to stay if you win?
No, it's my electric vibe. It's my energy. It's telling the machine.
Yeah.
That's why I always pull the handle so it can feel my vibe.
Yeah. Your vibes are transferred better that way.
That's the vibe handle.
The vibe. It's a vibe.
But no, beer is like my limitless pill when it comes to bags.
Oh, dude.
Absolutely.
Good movie.
Yeah. I get dialed in.
Get a few banquets.
Dude.
Turn to Bradley Cooper.
So on Saturday, we're doing a bags tournament. It's at Chandler High.
Okay.
Which is like right across from like, you know, downtown Chandler.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to go to Santan Brewery for breakfast, and they serve beers, breakfast beers.
Oh, they have a breakfast beer. That's right.
And then Daniel's like, I can't wait to show up at the high school fucked up. And then Carter's like, again.
That's a funny joke.
Yeah.
Chapter 7: Prohibition and Homogenization. So as more information on the effects of alcohol became apparent, a largely religious movement had started to ban alcohol. And one of the most famous is Carry A Nation. Fucking sick name, by the way. Like, that's one of the hardest names in history, I think. But she would like walk into pubs and destroy kegs and barrels of beer with like a hatchet and
you
shit.
You think she really looked like that?
Dude, probably. I think so. I think, yeah. Because there's, I'll get into it later, but there's still like cities in America that ban alcohol. Like, you can't get any alcohol there. And they like, they're like a big fan of this lady.
Prohibition is crazy.
It is a crazy thing that
and
happened.
Like, I feel like I didn't really know about it until pretty recently in life, you know?
You didn't learn about it in high school?
I probably did. It doesn't mean I absorbed it.
I remember thinking it was weird.
We
it's
learned
kind of
a lot
like,
in high school that we don't remember.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's why they have like speakeasies the way they are.
Yeah, yeah. They had to hide.
They had to hide.
They're in like, you know, weird places.
I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on the book, but learning that how recently it was allowed to make your own beer...
Yeah, like it was like
just all 50 states.
Fairly
it was
recent.
Like 10 years ago or something.
It was allowed in like Alabama and like Mississippi or something. It was like illegal until like 2015 or something like
that.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's
crazy. Or 2013. Alabama, Mississippi.
Yeah, it was like 10 years ago.
Homebrewing was illegal.
That's so bizarre to me. I was like, what?
Yeah, just
like,
recently.
I didn't know that.
So the group against alcohol would be known as the Dries. And after Germany began declaring war for World War I, and a German submarine sank the Lusitania, Anheuser-Busch products were now treason, which created the opportunity for prohibition.
He burps.
I did burp.
I have to burp, but I'm holding it.
Dude,
for
you
the
see the Yingling ice cream?
No.
Right. Where? So, like, when during prohibition, like breweries had to like make other things to survive.
Yeah, so, a lot of
Yingling
made
ice cream, maybe.
Dude, I wonder if they still have it.
I don't know.
Is Yingling a beer company now?
Yingling is an amazing beer, but only on the East Coast. You can't get it here. Well, from like Texas over.
I think it's in El Paso.
Why? Why not here?
I don't know. And you can't get it shipped here because I took a business trip and we were in Georgia and we were bar hopping and I had it and I was like, it's the best beer I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's not now tasting it. I'm like,
I heard that like for a while, you know, and then I go there and I like try it. I'm like,
I know.
Mom overhyped it like a lot. It is really good.
I totally did hype it up. And then the WBs brought us a six pack this last time they were here. Contraband? And I drank it and I was like,
It's just the fact that you can't have it. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
It's the rarity, I think.
It is a good beer, but
it is a brutal hangover if that's all you're drinking. I like.
Oh, I did get drunk on it, and oof, it was not good.
It's tough.
I like threw up in the bathroom of like a diner.
Oh God!
Yeah, like
nice.
I tried to have a tuna melt. I thought
Why would you have a tuna melt?
It sounded so good.
I threw up.
The melted cheese, dude.
I threw up in the hotel sink.
Ew,
because for some reason I thought the sink would be better than the toilet at the time.
Who doesn't do that?
It's kind of like you in Mexico. Yeah. You're like, it's not going to all fit in the toilet.
Yeah, so we were in Mexico one time and me and Dana were sharing a room and one of us got drunk and one of us threw up in the sink. And then later would go back to bed and then later I would wake up, walk into the bathroom, realize I was pretty hungover. I would see throw up in the sink and be like, I don't know if I did that. And so I cleaned it up anyway, but it ended up being your throw up that I cleaned up.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You threw up in the fucking sink and not the bathroom.
I was like, you got this story wrong.
Not the toilet that was like right next to it.
Oh, it was you? I thought it was him.
He threw up. I cleaned it up thinking it was mine.
But you threw up in the sink because you didn't think the toilet was going to hold it all.
Yeah.
You remember?
There was some, yeah.
That's absurd. There's more room in the
you
toilet.
You can flush the toilet.
You can also flush.
I don't know how good their plumbing is.
You're in Mexico. You don't know.
Why would the plumbing be better in the sink than in the bathroom where you take dumps, Daniel?
And then you cleaned it up.
And then I cleaned it up. And I was like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, dude. I woke up. I'm like, oh my God, a guardian angel.
It's a miracle.
I thought dad came in and did
it
or something.
Oh, God. Do you think your dad would clean up some puke?
I puked in your sink before and I told him about it.
Did he clean it up?
So I cleaned it up, but I'm like,
oh, that was New Year's. That was Hennessy New Year's.
Yeah. Oof. I'm like, get some Drano in there. He's like, okay.
Get some Drano. You know his sink still stinks.
That one?
Yeah.
Wait, his?
Yeah.
No.
For you?
It's the one by the stairs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you were in our bedroom.
You were drunk. You threw up.
You don't even know.
No, I'm thinking of it. It's a different New Year's. It wasn't Hennessy New Year's.
It wasn't Hennessy New Year's.
Different New Year's.
Yeah. That one you throw up in my That's Navigator.
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to go through all the drunk stories.
Yeah. We have quite a few, I'm realizing.
We can have our own podcast on just the drunk stories.
We can make our own comic book of all the drunk stories we had.
Drunk
stories. It'd be twice as big as this book.
Probably.
There's like pictures of like people puking in like three times in this book.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's how you learn.
So some breweries turned to making ice cream, but Americans want their booze, so they turned to organized crime.
Blam, blam.
And this is what created an opportunity for gangsters to rise until the wet politician Franklin Roosevelt ended Prohibition in 1933. And then sadly, local homegrown breweries could not survive the 13-year Prohibition era. Only the big dogs could. So it kind of just like,
knocked
I guess they just
you.
Waited. I don't know. But I like the idea of calling politicians wet. Like, these are the ones that like beer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the one criticism I have of this book is I would have liked to see more gangster stuff from, like, Prohibition era. I think it's really interesting.
It's pretty big.
Because, like, I feel like that was one of the biggest times where a lot of Americans were like, yeah, I'll do something illegal for, you know, for some brews.
To get drunk.
It's just a crazy time.
To be fair, it was towards the end of a very thick and long book.
It was.
We better tighten
this
up.
Well, we could cut some, some shit out somewhere
else. We don't want to go back to the ancient days of...
There's a guy who's about to kill himself because he ran out of beer.
Yeah. That was an absurd panel.
I was like, I feel that.
He's like looking at his empty stein, like fresh out of beer.
I don't know if I've ever had like a favorite president, but I think it's FDR now.
No.
Just because he ended Prohibition.
Mm-hmm. My favorite president is Jimmy Carter, and I just base that solely because he had a peanut farm, but he does something later in this. He's the one that signed the home breweries for everybody, and I'm like, goated president.
Nice.
So canned beer and home refrigerators became a thing. World War II started, and Guinness, among many other breweries, were hit by Hitler's Luftwaffe in London, which is the, you know, the cavalry of planes that would, like, bomb shit. But America's economy is booming during and after the war, and alcohol advertising blows up, especially at the thought of a low-calorie light beer.
Diet beer.
Diet beer. Diet beer. And then there's an introduction to a guy named Maytag, which goes into the next chapter. But yeah. So it's just starting to get more commercial. So in chapter 8, Drinking on the Shoulders of Giants, Beer Today. Beer is getting more popular and commercial in the 70s. It's getting put in kegs and artificially carbonated and flavored. Four guys in Britain start an anchor brewery and focus on real ale. And an American Marine started New Albion, which was the first microbrewery, which failed, but it was kind of like the spark for what could be, and I guess now there's a bunch of microbreweries around. So I guess this chapter is interesting because I'm like, they artificially carbonate it, and so I'm like, I don't think I've ever had like a real beer, unless ale still counts or something. But
I think this,
like do beer snobs like look at Banquet and they're like, ugh, fake, you know?
Probably, yeah. I don't think
because of that
beer
reason.
Snobs like Banquet.
Yeah.
So
only cool people.
I don't know if anyone else is only confused. Cool. Maybe I'm still a little confused, but this page that was talking about
Michael Jackson
and the Netherlands.
Yeah. There's a Michael Jackson.
I was like,
he doesn't look like Michael Jackson.
But Michael Jackson's little land was called what?
Wonderland or something?
No. It was something very close to Netherlands. I think it was Neverland. It was something where I was like, Michael Jackson?
Well, this doesn't look like Michael Jackson. And I feel like this artist is good enough to...
But yeah. The Netherlands is what Michael Jackson has like compound. Can you look that up, please?
Because yeah,
I was so confused. I'm like, wait. This doesn't look like Michael Jackson, and I don't know how old he was, but I don't think he was old enough to.
Well, if I just Google time. Michael Jackson, we run into a problem because Michael Jackson comes up. So beer?
No,
I want to know where his compound or whatever. Was it
Neverland?
Neverland. Oh, so Netherland, Neverland. See the confusion? I was like,
that is weird.
Same name, but
where is that Michael Jackson?
Right here on
it's like this
page.
Dude, this white dude with like a weird afro and like that, yeah. Like that's Michael Jackson apparently. So
that's a guy named Michael Jackson.
That's a guy named Michael Jackson, okay. And then, there's never like a footnote being like not like the pop star, you know.
Well, and also talks about Netherlands, and I was like, is that Michael Jackson and
in
his
Neverland?
Compound?
Yeah.
I was confused for a second.
Yeah.
Email in if you think there's a connection.
Because I don't think the pop star Michael Jackson published the World Guide to Beer, but this Michael Jackson did.
He did. He looks like Weird Al Yankovic.
Oddly enough,
instead
yeah.
Instead of Michael Jackson. But.
And for a while...
More like a Bob Ross, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that's more accurate, maybe. But for a while, home brewing was illegal after Prohibition, but activists pushed the law to be changed, which was successful and signed by Jimmy Carter. And then brew pubs were born, which is where they make and serve beer only in one place. And they don't like sell it and export it and shit like that. And that's why I fuck with Jimmy Carter.
That was what I, interesting fact, I didn't really realize that that's why they were called that.
Mm-hmm.
It was because it was all in one place. You brew it there and drink
yeah.
it there.
It was 1978 though. You said it was like 10 years ago.
What?
That was when they allowed for home brewing to happen?
No, it was. So it was
all 50 states.
Oh, in all 50 states. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it started there, but 2013 was there were like two states that were remaining.
Gotcha, Alabama and Mississippi.
Yep. Got it.
I didn't remember them, but yeah.
And so basically U.S. beer culture blew up. The U.S. came to have the widest diversity of beers than any other nation. Let's go. But now craft beer is mainstream and pretty much everywhere has it. And as of 2015, there were 3,200 breweries in the U.S. And basically we see... It ends with like the dude from the skit in the beginning. He just like grabs beer and then he goes to the party with some brews. And then there's like some profound words about how beer is important and shit. But yeah,
dude, they just really needed to fill some pages here when they're doing this shit.
I didn't know what that was.
I was like, am I supposed to read this?
There's like six consecutive pages of just like
words on beer bottles.
Yeah.
On like the trade dress,
and I didn't know if that was like part of the narrative, but I skipped through them and I didn't really understand.
It seemed more like a poem.
I thought it was just like
just some cool stuff, but yeah, they end it with like saying that drinking beer is like experiencing currents of agricultural, climatological, social, religious, economic, geographical, scientific, and ideological forces when you drink it.
That's what I think every time.
Yeah, that's what I think every time I do like a shoey.
Every time.
And then there's like a dude at the party thing. He's like, I'm totally going to untap this, which is like that app.
Yeah,
it's not a good app.
It's not good, right?
No,
am I insane?
It's really hard to like find the beer that you had, and there's like pictures or anything. It's
the just UI
like,
isn't very good.
It's not a great like, UI. It's kind of like tracking your food.
Yeah,
it's a pain.
It's like MyFitnessPal, but for beers.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I gotta remember to do this.
But like, there's some people are super dedicated to it. Doug Wynn is one of them.
Yeah, he said his friend had like 1,000 beers tapped.
Yeah,
I'm like, and so does Marcus, this guy that works for me. He does it because he's really into beer IPAs and stuff, and he tracks his on there all the time. He was showing me when we were in California.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, like it's too much work.
It's too much work.
And after two beers, I forget.
I like to have beer and then have another beer. I don't want to do a review.
But it is kind of cool to remember, like if you think, oh, I had that really good beer. What was it called? In case you want to have it again, I guess. But
I mean, if it was that good, then you'd remember it.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know?
For sure. But let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. We got some acknowledgments to hear, and they're like, thanks to, you know, Sam Adams and all the different beer places that they used as reference, kind of. This is the first Back Matter that we've ever had where we've had an index.
Yeah.
A big one.
And I'm like, holy shit, that's crazy. And then it just kind of goes into like creator bios. But this is also the first creator we've read a comic book from who is a head brewer at, you know, some sort of brewery in Connecticut. But that's kind of cool.
Nice.
He probably helped a lot with just like the history of breweries and shit like that, but it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Dude, hold on.
What?
Going to the creator bios.
Yeah.
Aaron McConnell, he illustrated the U.S. Constitution, a graphic adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a comic book about the Constitution.
Oh, God. Yeah. Don't invite me to that one.
Next week.
This one was our number together.
The Gettysburg Address.
Nathan, my props to you on your recap of this book, because number one, while I was reading it, I'm like, I have to take notes while I'm reading it because I'm never going to remember all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because there was so much of it. But you did a great
task.
Little synopsis of it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Well, like, the best in the biz.
Also,
it's so good.
Like, I didn't include even nearly enough of everything, but if you're interested in this, like, read it, because I definitely left out some parts. It's also really good and informative.
Yeah.
So I learned so much.
Yeah.
Like, it was not like a comic book that has a cool story that you read. Like, definitely different from that, but it was so informative and like,
and it's something I learned interested a ton. In, you
know? I thought it was cool.
It's basically just a documentary, cool. But like the graphic novel
format.
Yeah,
beer.
They also have a comic book story of video games, which seems kind of cool, but I don't
that
know
might
how
be
long
neat.
But it's the same writer and creative team, and it looks like exactly the same. So that might be kind of interesting to look at too at some point. But
like, in a very long time.
It's definitely like the most... It's a very unique comic. Like, we don't obviously read this all the time. And I was telling Daniel like last week, the closest I think we've gotten to something like this is this really, really strange story called The Beef. And it's like half a like comic story and half like vegan propaganda almost. But it like tells you how fucked up like the meat industry is. And it was such a weird book because this guy ate so much fast food that he became like The Beef, but he's basically like this Hulk character, but made like out of raw beef, pretty much.
Ew.
It's very strange.
It's so good.
But I think about it. I think about it all the time because I was like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever read. But I also learned a lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just so weird. But this one's, you know, it doesn't really have the story aspect of it.
Well,
it's just
opening,
all the facts. But it's really cool.
It was.
That's The Beef.
Ew.
A very disgusting, probably one of
that's
our
awesome.
Yeah,
probably just one of the funniest episodes to like listen to you because of how absurd it is. But yeah. But Dan, what would you rate this book?
Nathan, I would rate this actually a specific like experience that I had.
Okay.
When I was in Belgium, and I hadn't really drank that much since I was there, but Belgium is home to like the greatest beers in the world, according to some people.
Sure.
So I go to like this beer, it's called World of Beers. It was like a pub or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a flight just to try as many beers as possible.
Obvious.
And they had a small flight with like 6 beers or something, and these little ones, or a flight of 10. And they're much bigger beers. I'm like, let's do 10.
Wow.
And so it's like a 10 beer flight that is way more beer than you thought, you know? And it has like all the different kinds of beers, you know?
Sure.
Because it had like the lights and the darks and
Did it go light from
the
dark?
Different malts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I have a picture of it. I'll put it on there. There's sours, there's IPAs, there's Who Gardens and stuff like that. Mm. And it was a great experience, but it was so much beer and I needed water and snacks to finish it.
I remember. Should I buy?
Yeah, I was like, go to that store. I need chips.
I need a snack.
And I had some bomb ass snacks, dude.
So you read this book that experience?
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, more beer than you expect, but you still enjoy it because it's beer.
Yeah. I would rate this like an Edward 40 hands.
Ah.
Because I had to read this pretty quick, and so I felt like all my free time was just reading this, which is kind of like how Edward 40 hands is, because you can't do anything else but drink the beer until you're done. Do you know what Edward 40 hands is?
I don't.
It's How I Met Your Mother, but people do it where it's like you take 40 or 20 ounces. 2 40s of beer, and you tape it to your hands, and you can't untape yourself unless you finish both of those tall boys. And I've done that one time, and I don't recommend it because beer gets warm pretty quick.
You probably put like a koozie on the beer and then tape your hand, you know, so it's not like the heat from your hand to the beer.
I duct tape, dude. I had to use like fucking packing tape, and so like you just look at my hands; it's all like foggy in there.
Yeah.
So that's what I rate it. What would you rate this book, Mom?
So we're rating it to an experience.
Just like a.
You could give it like a like it, love it, gotta have it, like Cold Stone,
you or like
give
a, it like a certain beer you would equate this.
I would
to.
Rate this. Oh,
if you want, you can do whatever you want.
We typically relate it to food in some way, somehow. But
I would rate it
sometimes like a Caniac combo,
like a hazy beer.
Okay,
where it sounds really good, it tastes fantastic, and you're enjoying it, but then it's so much to it that you're like fucked up by the end of 2.
100%.
Like you can't fucking drive. You're too drunk now, and your experience is the night is over after 2 beers. So like it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
This is not a lager kind of book.
No. It was a hard-hitting, heavy. There was so much information in there, but it was also super interesting. I learned a ton and I thought it was very cool.
I
enjoyed it.
I'm glad you liked it. Yeah.
If this was a very quick read, it'd be like a lager or like a Michelob.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can, be a light.
It's good, but you can
be chug a bush. It. This is no Bush Light.
No.
No.
Despite how much he shows up.
Yeah. It was good.
But yeah. Good stuff.
Very cool.
Alrighty. Let's get into the poll list. Colon,
shove in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What was the show that you were interrupting?
Oh, so funny. When I'm doing a bunch of monotonous stuff at work, which has been a lot lately, I like to have noise on in the background. So I was looking on Netflix for just something, and I ran across Buying Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Selling Sunset, which I've already seen.
Yeah.
And I love watching them because I love seeing the houses and stuff that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fashion that all the people are wearing. There's a touch of drama, which is fun. So I decided to watch it. And I watched the entire season, like, from my afternoon all the way to the evening. Dad was out of town, so I watched the whole thing.
Nice.
So season 2 came out on Friday, and I was watching it in my office, the very first episode. And he comes in. And he's like, what are you watching? And I told him, and I gave him a little backstory of how he was out of town. I watched it. And then he comes around my desk, and he's watching. And he's like, who's that? what did he do? Why is he mad? And he's like asking all these questions. And I'm like, did you want to go out into the family room and watch season 1? I can work out there. And I'll watch it again with you. And he was like, fine, I'll get out of your office. He's all offended. I'm like, I'm not kicking you out. I'm saying I'll go watch it
it's
with
an
you.
Offer.
Yeah. And he goes, I have the iPad. I'll catch up on season 1. This was yesterday.
That's so funny.
So he's in his office with it on his iPad watching it. And then after work, I'm reading the book. And he's like, do you mind if I watch the show? I'm like, no, because I've seen it. So he was watching it. And he finished the whole season in one day.
Wow.
So now we're on to season 2. And it's good because there's like a little bit of, you know, the people, there's drama. But the houses, there was a house for $139 million for
more
sale
than I got
in there. Most of them are around,
I think it's sweet.
40 million. And then like the small houses that look like they might be something we would live in, but they're in Beverly Hills are like 6 million.
So wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But interesting just to see the house.
I just like that dude in Selling Sunset who like owns like the place with like his brother.
The bald guys.
Yeah. And then they just get like hella bitches.
Hella bitches. And they're so short.
And they're like, yeah, they're so short.
The bitches they get or them?
Them.
Oh, okay.
All the women are like tall, beautiful blondes. And they're like.
and they're like 25. And
yeah,
then these dudes are like
younger.
50.
What are their names? I forget. Jason?
Jason and something else.
And something else. That show is fantastic. And it, because not only is there, I mean, everybody, the fashion that they wear, I love. The mm-hmm. cars they drive are awesome. And the houses they see are awesome. And yeah. then there's all this drama that goes along with it. I really enjoy that show.
Because like the commissions are like fucking nuts.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so they like step on each other's toes and shit with
things. Yeah, backstabbing.
I don't even know how this shit works.
That's kind of how the buying of Beverly Hills is. Like the commissions on some of them are over $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, I would because, bet. You know, that's crazy. Just like average,
one.
So.
One good sale.
I get so nervous.
There's a guy, there's a guy on this one who's from Arizona.
Oh, really?
And he's like, I mean, the commission on that place is like $1.2 million. Like, that's like four houses in Arizona.
Yeah.
He's like, I could buy a free. Block.
Yeah, totally.
So it's cool. Anyway, that's like the only last time I was on when audio didn't work, I had watched The Gentleman, which is.
I just finished that. Oh my God.
I'm brewing a great burp. Can we have our competition?
Just
soon?
Burp and then.
I don't want, I'm saving it.
All right, competition. You go
first. Save burps. Down.
I'm out.
You can hold on to them.
I got no burps.
You have three beers in there?
I do.
Okay, I'll start chugging and then. I can't.
Even out yet?
No, I'm out.
Oh.
I need a new one.
Do you want another Indian Pale Ale?
No, I'd like to chug a crispy. That seems more burpable beer. But I can't hold it. So once
I've
beer,
never done that, but I really want to win this competition. You want another beer?
Fair.
Yeah, I'll have the hazy.
We'll say.
Is it good?
Oh, that was good, yeah.
Okay, cool. I got one of those.
So we'll say when I burp, that's when the competition starts, and you let it rip, okay?
But
you guys talk about The Gentleman because I haven't seen it.
I want to try that. You haven't seen it? It's mm-mm. so freaking good.
Dude, it's so, like.
Let me have a drink before you do.
I'm not going to chug it. I don't
know. I know.
You think your son has cooties?
It's so, like, in the spirit of the
ooh,
movie.
That's really good.
You know, and it's really cool, like, how. They just keep the vibe of it because I think Guy Ritchie directs like the first two.
Oh, okay, that's good.
He's the creator of the show.
I know he mainly produced.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's cool that he directed the first two because The Gentleman has such like a class to it. I don't really know how to like describe it because but the movie's really good.
Yeah, and it's not anything connected to like.
You can just go.
Wow!
Yeah, oh, no, that's not my burp. That's not
wow,
my burp.
What a choke!
Dang.
What's a choke?
You're
don't
going
swallow
for gold?
Your don't swallow your burps. They're not going to come all up at once.
You're going for gold.
No, I'm just
going
to be bloated on the way.
But anyway, it's just like it's none of the same characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and but they're
but it was the same business,
same premise,
same business.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was.
Great. Yeah,
it was so like so the many, first right out of the gate, the first episode, you're like, oh my god,
like the
good action
like,
and
good
shit.
Action. A lot of twists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And.
It's pretty good.
Weak.
It's better than yours.
It was.
Yeah, don't say weak.
But yeah, it's awesome. I recommend it. I know you'll probably wait like 3 years to watch it.
And so I'll be like, oh my God, it's so good.
Because like I saw the movie.
Yeah, the
as I'm
I saw the movie The Gentleman like as, like the week it came out because I think it went straight to streaming because it was 2020. And I told him to watch it so many times.
It's
and then,
really
like, two birthdays ago, I just got him a physical copy of it on DVD.
Yeah.
And, like, where? Watch it. And
then I hadn't watched it prior to the season, to the series. So
I thought you did.
Well, we did, but I didn't remember it because you know how I am.
Okay. Yeah. So you can rewatch it. It's, like, very similar. It.
Yeah. So what I found myself doing was trying to correlate who is who and compare.
Pretty, yeah.
I think you beat the two of us.
Yeah.
But really? It wasn't impressive.
No, yeah, it's getting better.
Sophie has pretty good burps, dude. I'm like,
every
time she burps, I'm like, I'm just jealous. It's crazy.
I feel like less of a man whenever Sarah burps.
Yeah, dude.
And I'm like, I know I can't do that.
She has
like,
been waiting
me.
To compete with me because she thinks she can beat me, but we've never had a contest.
You have had
she
some.
Can. I'm sorry.
You have had some like some earthquake level burps before.
I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Sarah's like scare me. Like I'm like, wow. Like, I feel like I'm being attacked. Like
yeah,
because they're so loud.
I need to burp.
That's funny.
I think I held it too long.
Well, just let her rip whenever it comes naturally.
Did you watch Ricky Stenicki?
I've seen it on there, but I have not watched it. Is it good?
You wouldn't like it.
You don't think so?
No,
probably not.
Anyway, I that ass. Nathan, you watch?
Oh wow!
That sounded, that was such a weird one.
I don't know if you had to like go into the mic with that.
Yeah, I think they would have heard. But that's gonna
that sounded a little fake.
That's I wanted the deep one. That was a breathy one.
I know.
I didn't want
you really
that.
Put your voice on that one.
Yeah, That's going to stay for on the mic for the next podcast.
Sorry, I don't know why I did that.
Nathan, did you watch anything new?
No. Wait. We just continued Game of Thrones and then the next Invincible episode. That's about it.
Okay.
Talk to me about Sticky Ricky or whatever it's called.
Ricky Stenicky. It's like these three friends that have been blaming everything bad that they've done on their like friend, their like made up friend, Ricky Stenicky. To get out of shit, and they've been doing it like their entire lives into their marriages, and they blame they have all these things like he has like cancer and stuff, so that they can get out of things that they don't want to do and to go do fun stuff.
Oh God!
But then it gets to a point to where Ricky Stenicky is invited to like
their baby shower, or no, it was like
a bish or a
ooh, there you go.
Yeah, the thing where, that's like, that Jewish people do when they, like, cut off the foreskin.
Yeah, and, like, the whole family's there, apparently. I didn't know that was a thing.
What is that called?
I'm getting unlistenable.
I love it.
Anyway.
Every minute.
And so they... So, Ricky Stenicky was invited to that, so they had to hire an actor.
John Cena.
Oh, God. Why him?
John Cena is awesome.
He carries the movie, for sure.
He is, like, the best part, I think.
Because you think he's going to be such a fuck-up? And then he like nails this like Ricky Stenicky character because they've had this like Bible they've created of like all their lies pretty much.
Oh, so
and so they give it to him and they're like, oh, I'm Ricky Stenicky. You know, I'm certified in this thing or I studied to be a doctor or whatever. And he's like, and they're like, okay, well, can you do this? And he's like, and then you think he's going to fuck it up. And then he like pulls it off somehow because he's since he's like an actor, he's like had to do certain things. So it's very funny.
And so they just keep the lie going and going. And so, and then it gets to the point where they're, it's starting to, because this is supposed to be just like a one-time thing, like they just go to the Jewish thing and then he leaves, but then like he stays and it's starting to really affect their lives, and so they're just trying to like get out of this situation and like try and get rid of him. So
that's not like something I wouldn't like.
I think
it just wasn't that good, you know. It was like there was some funny parts, you know.
Well, we watched The Irish Wish.
Oh, with fucking Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
Was it awesome?
No.
I didn't know Lindsay was still doing things.
It was predictable and lame.
You just like to predict things.
Why would you put
Dad
that
on? Dad likes to watch rom-coms.
Some rom-coms are good.
I love rom-coms. We did watch, I forget the name of it. It has the girl from Jane the Virgin and the...
Annihilation.
Jesus Christ.
They sound like farts.
They're very breathy. Because I've been saving them.
They are a bit breathy.
And the Wayans brother.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's called a Playlist.
Marlon Wayan.
I remember seeing that. It's like.
Players.
Yeah. Is that any good?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
It was pretty good.
Okay. That's cool.
It was a light Sunday night movie with wine.
Like, I'm glad that like comedies are like still coming out, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there isn't like a lot of them, you know?
We watched one last week and it was actually really good. Another rom-com. You guys watch those?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
I like them. They're pretty few and far between now, it feels like. But
the last one I remember liking was like The Long Shot with like...
Oh, yeah.
With Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron. That one was good.
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. It's just Seth Rogen.
Oh, we
Seth
watched
Rogen.
The
yeah.
movie.
Oh, we'll talk about the next one.
Oh, okay.
We saw a horror movie. It's called Late Night with the Devil. And it's about like a late night show host who has like a possessed girl and like this doctor person.
He's trying to get his ratings up.
Yeah. like come on the show. Ugh. And then like they try and like exercise her or try and like just provoke her to get a reaction.
Yeah.
You know? It's on Halloween and stuff.
Was it any good?
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a super low budget.
Was it scary?
Nah, not really.
No.
It's more like a lot of anticipation, but it's kind of more of like a vibes kind of thing.
The vibes are pretty spooky, like the whole time.
They set it up as like almost as if it's like a almost as if it's like a documentary, you know? Be like, oh, this is the footage of like the night when this happened and that fateful night or whatever. And then they show like the footage, you know, as if it was like on TV, and then like when they go to like commercial break, they'll show these like behind the scenes like
cameras
and stuff like that. And it was just neat.
Yeah. It's just the way that it was filmed is neat because it feels like you're watching actual just footage kind of just cut together. So it's cool.
But yeah.
Cool.
That's all I watched.
Cool. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
We're going to read Super Sons.
Yep.
The DC book.
Was it written about you guys?
No. But we are Super Sons, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's about Robin and Superboy, and they team up.
The sons of Batman and Superman.
Nice.
Yeah. And they hang out. It's pretty good.
You guys have to find a book for Kristen. She can't wait to come on.
Another guest.
What is she like? All right, I can talk
She said she liked noir stuff, so we'll find something for her.
What's noir stuff?
Like crime and...
Black and white crime. Mm-hmm. What was that? Torso? Just get it. Read Torso.
I haven't read Torso. I don't even know if it's
good. You read Torso?
No, is it good?
Oh, man.
You read Torso?
I'm better than you, yeah.
If you are better than me, yeah, I guess. That's funny.
Because you like Brian Michael Bendis, and I've...
Yeah, I love him.
And it's his artwork.
Yeah.
I've sat through that and read it.
And it was picked up by David Fincher to make something, and then it never happened.
But oh, that'd be so good.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
That'd be cool. All right. Anyway.
But thanks, Ma, for coming on.
Thanks, Ma.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
And learning about beers.
I loved it.
And for finding this book in general.
I know. I want to bring a cool gift.
The first recommended book from our family, by the way.
Cheers.
So,
yeah, no one does that.
That was cool.
All right. You know, check out the link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Email the pod. Tell us what your favorite beer is. TreyBeersPod@gmail.com. And goodbye.
Sorry for all the burps.
Email in to who had the best burp.
Who had the best burp?
Voting now.
Vote on your phones now.
1-800-BURP-A-LOT.